9:04, and we have present for the record Senators Bundy, French, Stevens, and myself, McGuire. The date's February 12th. We have three items on the agenda. Senate Bill 185, sex offender child kidnapper registration, has been postponed at the request of the sponsor for a bit more work. So if you were online to testify on that, hold off and keep in touch with our office. Senate Bill 201, public finance website, will bring up first. Then Senate Bill 257, administrative code register distribution. And finally, House Bill 101, uniform traffic laws. So first up, we have Senate Bill 201, and we do have a CS. And if the sponsor would go ahead and motion to adopt the CS as a working document.
So moved.
Okay, so we have the work draft before us, /K, and let's hear the differences. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Bill Wilikowski. I'm State Senator for Northeast Anchorage, and appreciate the opportunity to appear before you. We tried to address a number of the concerns that were raised in the committee last time, so I'll go through. There's four changes. I think you all have a sheet in front of you. There were some things which we can talk about that we did not address, and be up to the committee whether or not you decide to take some action on that. The first thing that we did was to change this to being updated monthly rather than quarterly. And if you'd like, I can go through specifically where those are, but there's about six different references where we just changed quarter to month.
And did that reflect a change in the fiscal note? Now, I know we got into this matter before. Fiscal notes are always interesting, but obviously there will be an administrative cost. So any idea what the difference would be between four times a year versus 12?
Actually, we're told there's no difference.
Okay. Interesting.
And I think the reason for that, Madam Chair, is because the data is on the computer already, and it's just a matter of extracting the data, which can be done by computer, which is done by people who are already there, and there's no additional cost.
Okay.
The next thing that we did, there were some concerns that $10,000 was too high a number. I agree with that. We changed that on line, page 2, line 30. We defined expenditure and changed $10,000 to $1,000.
Okay.
The next change, there was a discussion about aggregating information, and on page 2, lines 24 through 27, we added a section there which states, however, the Department of Administration shall provide aggregated or summarized information describing confidential revenue and expenditures if the aggregated or summarized information continues to protect confidentiality. The idea there is there might be information that we don't want public, for instance, the individual names of people receiving welfare public assistance checks. And so the decision was made, well, let's give the total amount, but we're not going to give the obviously the names of those people. The fourth change was, I think, regarding something that Senator Bundy raised. That was regarding individual payments to state employees, and that is on page 3, line 2. We added the word individual before payments. It says money between state agencies, comma, individual payments. And again, that's just allowing the aggregate totals to be made public, but excluding the individual payments. There also was discussion about processes to improve the database. And I know we talked about in other states, there are a couple different things that are done. For instance, processes to improve the database. The governor has decided to have a governance council, and that council will review periodically the database to ensure that we're having things in there that are appropriate and keeping things in there that are confidential, and we support that. There's also some discussion about having a report every 2 years for the legislature, and because we have the governance council, It's probably not necessary to do that at this point. They'll be reviewing this periodically. The legislature can certainly request a report from them, but I don't know that it's necessary to put that in the statute. Regarding state employees, there was quite a bit of discussion. I know Senator French raised that issue. According to the state, they do not have the ability to list that information right now, and they're not sure if they can do by PCNs either. So for now, we're leaving that out. If that is something that the Governance Council decides they would like to take that up in the future, it might be appropriate for them to do. If the body decides they want the legislature to do, or the governor to include that information through this legislature, that's something that can be discussed, but that might be appropriate for the Governance Council to take up.
Okay. Questions or comments from committee members? Senator Bundy.
Thank you. I just perused the headlines this morning and noticed on the top of the fold at the Juneau paper something about the administration doing, it appears to be somewhat similar. I'm just wondering, how does that relate to your bill?
Right.
If you know.
Oh, yeah, no, they interviewed me for that story. I haven't read it yet. Well, essentially, this will make it permanent. This enshrines the public website in law. And in the headlines also a few days ago were the number of the things that Governor Palin has changed from the previous administration. And what you tend to see is one governor has a series of priorities, and then the next governor comes in and reverses that. And what we're saying with this is that this is not changeable. This is something that will be in law. Every governor from here forward will have to have a searchable database of public information. And it also gives us a little bit of leverage. We do have the ability to go in in a public debate and decide if there are things that we want to add or delete. Right now, I think probably the best approach is to let the Governance Council deal with this, but if there are things that people would like to add or subtract from what we're doing, that's certainly the legislature's option to do that.
Okay. Further questions? Senator Bernie, follow-up?
And thank you. And I suspect you'd think the Governance Council would do that, but you mentioned the review, and I was wondering if you considered a sunset so that we would automatically review it in 5 or 10 years.
I hadn't thought of that, but it's certainly an option if the
thank you.
Committee wishes to do so.
Okay, Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Senator, we talked last time about the possibility, or if this was good for the state, why not require cities, boroughs, and school districts to do it? Have you given that some thought?
We have, and we talked to the administration about that, and it would be a tremendous fiscal note because every local community, borough, organization would have to have a computer system, which potentially is going to cost millions and millions of dollars. I think it's a good idea. I think I just think fiscally, it's going to be very expensive to do right away. I guess we could add something to that effect, but it's just going to cost more money.
Okay. Further questions from committee members or comments? Okay, is there anyone here in the audience that wishes to testify on the CS? Anyone online? Okay, hearing and seeing none, then public testimony is closed on the CS, and so it is before us properly as a working document. Is there a motion from the committee? Senator French.
Madam Chair, if you're soliciting a motion to move the bill.
That is correct.
I would move that CS for Senate Bill number 201 / K be moved from the State Affairs Committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Okay. Is there an objection to the motion? Senator Green, the motion is to move Senate Bill number 201 out of State Affairs and onto Finance.
Unamended.
It has a CS / K. You want to take a brief at ease?
Sure.
Here's a summary.
That's in my packet, okay.
Here's a summary of the changes. Mm-hmm. Any objection to the motion? Okay, hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill 201 moves out of State Affairs and on to Finance.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Wilkowski. Okay, next we have Senate Bill 257, Administrative Code and Register Distribution. And we have someone from the governor's office presenting this bill? Who? Okay, Jason is. Welcome. And Jason, if you just put yourself on the record, we know you, but nice tie.
Nice round of applause for Jason.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Jason Hooley in the office of Lieutenant Governor, and thank you for hearing Senate Bill 257. Currently, the Lieutenant Governor's office distributes paper copies of the Alaska Administrative Code and its quarterly supplements to all 158 local government units here in Alaska. And over the last few years in particular, we've received a lot of feedback from these municipalities that they don't use the paper copies, that they don't have the office space to store them, that they don't want them, and that they're transitioning into the electronic version that's available for free online. And the bill simply allows those municipalities who don't want the materials to opt out of receiving them. And if at a later date they want to opt back in, they can do so. And that's basically what the bill does. A word on the zero fiscal note. Our office spends over $22,000 a year to distribute these paper copies, and that's part of our current contract with our publisher. And over time, if enough of these municipalities opt out of receiving these, as we expect, we will pursue a contract amendment at a future time to save the state some money. So this bill is just an attempt to save state money and respond to the desires of the local municipalities.
Fantastic. Okay, questions for the representative of the Lieutenant Governor? Okay, hearing and seeing none, is there anyone here in the audience to testify on Senate Bill 257? Is there anyone online? Okay, hearing and seeing none, then public testimony is closed on Senate Bill 257, and it brings the bill back before us for committee discussion or debate. Questions from the member?
I think it's a good step.
Yeah.
Should do more of this.
Yeah. Streamline.
It could be dangerous, Stevens, though, because I mean, there are lots of things I'd like to opt out of that they just ask not to receive it, and a lot of email would be.
Any amendments you'd like to?
No. I think it's a good bill. It's good. That's good.
Yeah, this is a great step.
Are you ready for a motion?
Yes.
I move that we move Senate Bill 257 out of committee with zero fiscal note and recommendations, individual recommendations.
Okay, is there an objection to the motion? Okay, hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill 257 moves out of the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Hui. We are just saving money today.
Giving 15, 20 minutes?
Yep, we will. All right, we've got a House bill up. House Bill 101. Who's on deck? Okay. Go ahead and state your name for the record on behalf of Representative Carl Gatto.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Good morning. For the record, Rick Vander Kolk, staff to Rep. Gatto. We apologize as part of a closeout subcommittee this morning. It's awful busy. We'll try to step back down if the schedule allows. I have Ledge Council also on the way, and I think Lieutenant Ronnie Dial is also online. The Ignition Interlock Law was enacted in 2004 as a way of preventing drunk drivers from repeat offenses. Ignition interlock devices are technology that connect a breathalyzer to a vehicle starter system, thereby preventing drivers from, from getting back into their vehicles. When the offender wants to start the car, he must have an adequate blood alcohol level. In fact, the new generation of interlock devices are getting to be quite sophisticated. There are now periodical, what are called rolling tests, that are mandated so that drivers must periodically breathe into that breathalyzer in order to continue driving. It was brought to Rep. Gatto's attention sometime in the fall of 2006 that at least one municipality had difficulty enforcing the ignition interlock law passed in 2004. Therefore, HB 101 was drafted to clarify what municipalities and courts have found confusing when imposing ignition interlocks in qualifying DUI cases. The first provision of this CS clarifies that municipalities may not enact or enforce an ordinance inconsistent with Alaska's Uniform Traffic Laws Act. The second provision clarifies sentencing procedures in cases where ignition interlocks are required. And I think online this morning is Lieutenant Dial, is that correct?
That's correct. He is on the line.
From Department of Public Safety.
Yes.
And Ledge Council would like to also give some background as to the evolution of changes from version A to K, and he should be on his way down.
Okay, and that's Jerry Luckup. Okay, so let's go to Lieutenant Dial. Lieutenant Dial, are you there?
Madam Chair, I am online.
Good morning. Welcome to Senate State Affairs. If you want to go ahead and put yourself on the record and offer testimony.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Rodney Dial. I'm a lieutenant with the Alaska State Troopers Department of Public Safety. And I would just like to say that the department supports the CS for House Bill 101. I'm available to answer any questions if you have any. We do feel that this bill will help ensure that the ignition interlocks are used when appropriate, and as a result, we'll keep our roads safer. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Questions for Lieutenant Dial? Okay. Senator Bundy.
Just a comment. I was at a public meeting before we came down here, and a young fellow stopped me as I was leaving, and he had had a, I guess we could call a checkered past, and was attempting to straighten his life out. And he wasn't able to drive because of his past offenses, but desperately wanted to work and you know, get his life turned around. And he was strongly in favor of the interlock and using it so that he indeed could have transportation to go to work, even though it was an expense and an inconvenience to him. It was interesting to hear from the other side of the equation, someone who was, I guess, most severely impacted by interlock. I would guess most of the time they'd be resistant, but in this case, someone who wants to change a pattern of behavior was very much in favor of it.
That's great. Okay, further discussion? Anyone else here in the audience to testify on House Bill 101? Anyone online that I've overlooked? Okay, and so the testimony of Mr. Luckup, could you summarize what he would say?
In your committee packet, you'll see a letter from Mayor Mark Begich, and it's a response after several attempts to get a response from the municipality. They provided two suggestions, and basically we've incorporated those in the latest version. I think that as March 20th of 2007, we provided version K to municipality for further comment. I've not heard back. So we assume that their final suggestions have been taken, and they like what they see. So I think that Mr. Luckup would simply go over how he's had to sort of reanalyze those suggestions and determine whether or not there was even a need to do more clarification.
Senator French and then Bundy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Are we going to hear from Mr. Luckup?
He's been invited down. I understand he's on his way.
Oh, okay, great. I was reading through the letter that the mayor's office sent back to Representative Gatto.
Sorry.
And they referenced two different statutory fixes. And it doesn't look to me like those were the fixes embraced by this bill, although it may be that they're similar or that the parallel, and maybe Mr. Luckup can explain how they're different or how they're the same.
Through the chair, Senator French, that's the case. He will have that
great
for you.
Great.
Okay. Shalon, maybe you could make a call.
There he is.
Okay. Without further ado, Senator Bundy.
As we have two judiciary chairs here, perhaps you could answer, like federal law, it's preeminent over state law, is state law preeminent over municipal ordinances and law?
Yes, it is.
So
to the extent that there's a conflict.
Yeah.
To the extent that there's a conflict.
And to,
or not.
Okay,
so.
Yeah. And of course, I would encourage Representative Gatto not to feel like he's been ignored. When you're running for higher office, it's hard to keep up with your correspondence.
And, you know, the best example I can give of that is the alcohol, the time for...
Great, someone had missed that item.
The time for closure of bars and that topic that comes up, because on the books, the state law still allows for closure at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And so there's always a little bit of conflict there. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
So.
Thank you. I was just briefing Mr. Luck up on Senator French's question. Trying to discuss the evolution of the change and Version K's response to the letter from Mayor Beckett.
Where have you been hiding? We haven't heard from you yet this session.
For the record, my name is Jerry Luck of Legislative Council for the Division of Legal Services. I don't have to go to Senate hearings too often. I've been running to House Judiciary like I used to all the time.
That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, so I haven't had, this is actually my first Senate hearing this year, so.
Wonderful, welcome.
Boy, I'm excited.
you need something more in your life.
It's a hobby.
basically, through the chair, Senator French, I tried to incorporate Mayor Begich's recommendations, and that is put in Section 2 of the bill about having the court make the determination. And that was it.
Senator French.
So just so the record's clear, what the bill envisions is that at sentencing, the judge will determine by a preponderance of the evidence whether the person's chemical test was either 0.16 or 0.24%. And then impose the ignition interlock period accordingly.
Correct.
And what happens if the judge doesn't? I mean, what if the judge just lets that go by? You know, the sentencing happens, there's no finding, and are we expecting the municipal prosecutors to stand up and protest, or do we have some agreement with the municipal prosecutors? What's our thinking there?
Well, this is part of the Alaska Uniform Traffic Code, so prosecutors have to comply with this, and the court does. If the court refuses, then, or fails to, then it becomes an illegal sentence. Mm-hmm. So there would be avenues to address that. The state, backing up, Anchorage's failure to comply with this law in the past has raised those questions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Department of Law, I think, doesn't really want to go in and start, you know, filing old writs of mandamus or prohibition or things like that, which don't really exist anymore, but something in the nature of that still does. This became an easier way to address the issue of Anchorage failing to comply with the state law, which under state law they have to, and that I think is reflected in the earlier letters, one from Mr. McConaughey where he stated that he was aware of this law passing, he didn't really like it, he didn't like certain aspects of it, but he never presented it to the assembly, the municipal assembly up in Anchorage, for them to enact it into their ordinances. He just didn't like it, so the assembly was never told about the existence of this change in state law, which affects Anchorage's law. This became a way to address that particular issue.
Yes. Senator French.
I just wonder whether we're still not leaving some wiggle room. I'm looking at the bottom of page 1, lines 13 and 14. And it just strikes me that it's possible that this could slide right by the judge in the sentence and the sentencing procedure. And while I appreciate your idea about a writ of mandamus and so forth, I think the double jeopardy clause would bar you from going back and trying mm-hmm. to resentence this person once the sentence had been passed. You know, your argument's going to be it's an illegal sentence. But I think there's wiggle room in here because there's no command to the judge to make that finding. It just says if a person's convicted and at sentencing the court determines mm-hmm. by preponderance of the evidence, then this has mm-hmm. to happen. But if that didn't happen, the defendant could say he had his opportunity. The judge didn't make the finding. You can't resentence me. That's gone by. I think there needs to be a shall in here somewhere that says the court shall determine. You know, yes or no, was he above or below this 0.16 or 0.24? And that way, there's just less wiggle room.
I agree.
Through the chair, Senator French, we don't really, in our Title 28 sections, we don't use the court shall make various determinations. We just say, if this is found, then this has to happen. We assume the court is going to do the right thing, and they're going to obey the law as we've written it. I guess I could say the court may not, I could come up with some language saying the court may not proceed with sentencing until the court makes this determination. But we haven't chosen to do that as we've written in Title 28, and I didn't just default into writing that. I defaulted in the normal method we write, assuming the court would comply.
You know, Mr. Lookup, when you look at the letter from the mayor's office, I recognize that putting the language that folks recommend into statute doesn't always work, but on page one at the bottom there, under the title Judicial Imposition of Ignition Interlock Requirement, if you read that language, it really does say shall. It's much clearer. And the basis is the fact of the alcohol level. So that's really the only fact you're looking at, is if it reaches that level, then the court shall impose as a condition of probation or as part of the sentence the ignition interlock. And I think that's what Senator French is saying, is that you're, by adding in the court determining by a preponderance of the evidence, which is fairly low, you sort of wiggle out of that shall part. So I think what he'd like to know and I'd like to know is, in looking at the recommendations from the municipality, which they're admittedly ironic because they're the folks not complying, I'll give you that, but they do seem to give the shall.
Madam Chairman, that they've chosen to take out a slight portion of the whole law,
right,
and rewrite it in a sort of disjointed manner,
right,
in order to express their thoughts on the subject. That is not, what they've written is not something that will be sufficient to,
yeah,
adequately address that. So it's going to be a bit more complicated. I can't just take out and create that two sentences and still address the entire issue and the whole range of things that can occur. Again, I rewrote it in the method that we have rewritten things, and as we have written things in Title 28, I can rewrite it as a mandatory. I can go ahead and, if that's what the committee wants, I can rewrite it to put in shalls, but it won't look exactly like,
right,
they've written that.
Okay, so what would it look like if you were to, it's just a two-page bill here, what would it look like? Would it simply say, at sentencing, the court shall?
Well, again, we're going to have to refer to,
okay,
if the person is convicted under the A of the section, the court shall make a determination.
Yeah.
If the person's blood alcohol level is between 0.16 and, or it was above 0.16 or above 0.2.4, and then have the two alternatives, what occurs at that point.
Okay.
And so I can, if that's what the committee wants to do conceptually, I can work with that and come up with
language. Well, I think if,
language.
I think that if what we're trying to get at is the fact that the municipality of Anchorage is not complying and finding ways out of it, whether it's a philosophical argument or an economic argument, whatever it is, I think we want to be as strong as we can in the language in order to change the result. Senator French?
I concur. And I just jotted down, the court at sentencing shall make a determination. So I think, you know, we're thinking,
right,
along the same lines. And with a little wordsmithing, I think we can have this nice and tight.
Okay, so any other thoughts from the committee? Senator Green?
Well, you're far more advanced in this than I am, but it looks like backward. Because what are you accusing the person of? Of having a .16 higher than and lower than .24? Is that the crime?
Through the chair, Senator Green. No, I mean, the crime is being over .08, right? And so all DWI defendants who've been convicted of being by a jury or by their plea of being over .08 will then come before a judge for sentencing.
Yes.
And then the judge will have to make a separate determination of how high or how low their BAC was.
And so that's in a previous, the .08. I knew that.
Right.
That's why I was.
Right.
So it's not this. Okay.
Right. This is a sentencing provision, not a charging.
And actually, I've heard that there are some jurisdictions that are saying that if you're impaired at all, that they're making those stops even below .08.
Mm.
It's a different threshold, but it's impaired driving
right,
while impaired.
Right,
so,
right.
Well, through the chair, Madam Chair, under our law, if you are impaired,
yeah,
it doesn't matter what you could be less than .08. If we can prove that you are impaired,
yeah,
and that it affected your driving, then you are guilty of drunk driving or driving under the influence in Alaska. So that is an alternative under our law currently also.
Senator Green.
This has nothing to do with this bill, but couldn't you be found to be impaired and not have any alcohol content?
Through the chair, mm-hmm. Senator Green, that is possible because we have people could be impaired as a result of drugs and other things. And so there is no alcohol level at all. And so that is an alternative under our statute too.
Thank you.
Senator Bundy.
I'm wondering if we can do a breathalyzer for IQ because there are impairments there as well.
You know,
he's back to his old self.
Except this committee.
That's probably in the HESS committee.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so I think what we'll go ahead and do then is set this aside until Thursday. We could bring it right up at the top of the hour if the changes could be made. To make that, and then I have asked for a representative from the our police department there in Anchorage to be online too. I'd just like to hear a little bit about why we haven't been enforcing it. So okay, so with that, we'll go ahead and set the bill aside and adjourn.